Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. Pollsters at Elon University recently released the results of their latest survey of the attitudes of North Carolina voters towards some important issues, including the opioid crisis that is ravaging so many communities. Joining us to discuss these results is the director of the Elon University poll, Professor Jason Husser. So first, tell us about your most recent poll. When was it conducted? How many people did you survey?
Our most recent poll was conducted between November 6th and 9th, and we talked to 771 registered voters in North Carolina. So the results we're going to talk about have a margin of error of 3.5.
The headline seems to be that your findings about the opioid crisis. Can you tell us some about what you discovered?
We decided that given the level of salience in the news of the opioid crisis, we should devote a substantial portion of our poll space to it. Just to lead with some of our most sort of headline results, we asked this question: have you, a friend or a family member, been personally impacted by opioid addiction? We found almost one-third of North Carolinians said yes. 31% of people said yes, that either they or someone close to them have been impacted by opioid addiction. So to me, that suggests this problem is widespread throughout the state. We found that almost all groups we broke it down by said yes, they had been personally impacted, either directly or by someone close to them. Democrats, Republicans, Independents alike, all almost one-third said yes, they had been. We did find some generational differences, millennials being more likely to say yes than members of the silent generation. It's not clear if that's because there's a difference in reality or if the silent generation is less willing to admit that they or someone close to them has been impacted.
Wow, it's pretty sobering news. Is this the first time you polled on this issue?
It's the first time we've polled statewide. We asked a similar question about how opioids should be dealt with in Charlotte and found similar results in Charlotte as we found statewide. In that question, we asked if people thought the illegal use of prescription drugs should be dealt with by prosecutors or by doctors. The majority of the state says it should be dealt with doctors by the medical system rather than prosecutors through the criminal justice system.
Is there an obvious solution that we can tease out of this?
We didn't get any sort of specific thing that voters wanted in our questions. However, we did ask, does your community have the resources needed to respond to the opioid crisis? We asked this question because we know that law enforcement in particular has had additional financial demands placed upon them because of opioid issues. And so what we found is only 28% of voters said yes, their community had enough resources. 43% said no, 28% weren't sure. So that generally lines up with my expectations that a lot of folks might not be sure, but the people who do have an idea, most of them say no, their community does not have enough resources. So this to me suggests that it would be a pretty safe political bet for legislators to invest more tax dollars into dealing with opioids.
Let's be clear, when we're talking about opioids, what are we talking about? Are we talking about prescription meds? Are we talking about heroin on the street? What are we actually talking about?
We led with our battery of questions by saying opioids are a group of drugs that include prescription painkillers as well as heroin. We were interested to know if people were thinking more about illegal drugs or prescription drugs, so we asked, which do you think is a larger problem in this rise of opioid abuse? Abuse of prescription pain pills or street drugs like heroin? We found is that 59% of state residents said it was pain pills, 26% said street drugs, 14% weren't sure one way or another. So most people, when they're thinking about opioids, are thinking about prescription pain medicine.
A lot of other issues you've been polling about recently, you looked at some matters of national import, including President Trump and some of the major controversies swirling around him and his administration. Can you tell us some about some of those findings?
We started out our survey with a battery of questions about elected officials. The top of that is the most powerful elected official in the country, which is President Trump. We asked, do you approve or disapprove of the way Donald Trump is handling his job as president? We found 37% approved, 57% disapproved, 5% weren't sure one way or another. This, though, is historically low. It's still actually better than our last survey back in September. So we found the president went up about 3 points from September. We tried to dig deeper into where did this growth come from. Many of our respondents are known as panel respondents. These are people we've called back multiple times. And so we're able to actually see individual people who changed over time. We found that most people didn't change. 95% of those who approved of the president back in September still approved of him. 5% had moved to disapproval. When it comes to those who disapproved of the president, almost all, 95%, still disapproved of him. So where does that change come from? It comes from the fact that almost twice as many people disapproved of the president back in September. And so equal movement from disapprove to approve allows the president to go up. And so that does suggest a little bit that we may be seeing a floor of disapproval of the president, simply because at this point, any movement in disapproval, because it's so much bigger proportion, leads to a net gain for the president.
And we should make clear again that these are North Carolina voters that you're surveying. I'm right about that?
Right. They're North Carolina voters. So we see in both the Elon poll as well as High Point poll and others that North Carolinians tend to be more negative about the president than the nation as a whole, which is interesting when you think that the president won a greater percentage of the vote in North Carolina than he did in the nation as a whole. I don't have a good explanation for that other than it seems like North Carolina voters typically just have slightly higher standards for elected officials. We found a similar pattern, both Elon and other polling organizations in the state, during the Obama administration, where North Carolina voters were slightly more negative than the nation as a whole about whoever's in charge.
Obviously, there have been a lot of controversies swirling around the president, and one of them that is in the headlines is the Russia investigation. What are voters saying about that?
We were interested in a couple things related to Russia. One, we wanted to know if they thought that the president was going to sort of go down over this. So we asked, do you think the federal investigation of Russia's interference in the 2016 presidential election will reveal criminal activity by President Trump, his family, or senior leaders in his administration? 49% of voters said yes, they thought criminal activity would be revealed. 41% said no. 10% weren't sure. This is not going to be surprising at all, but that pretty much just fell along party lines. So those who approved the president overwhelmingly thought that the investigation was not going to turn up anything. Those who disapproved of the president, but the strong majority of them thought, yes, that the investigation would reveal something. So in many ways, voters' opinions on this are extremely strongly correlated with their individual attitudes to begin with. We also wanted to know, what's this going to mean for the 2018 election cycle? And so we asked, does the Russia investigation make you more or less motivated to vote in the 2018 midterm elections, or does it not make a difference? 34% said more motivated, 3% less motivated, 61% said no difference. 34% is not that big of a number until you start thinking that oftentimes elections come down to just a couple of points. And so there is a disparity right now. Democrats are much more likely to say they're going to vote because of this investigation. 53% of Democrats said more likely, as opposed to only 18% of Republicans. So if that pattern holds and that sort of expressed intention of behavior translates to real behavior, we could see a Democratic advantage going into the 2018 midterm elections. And finally, we wanted to know, how does this compare to other historical investigations of the president? So we dug back into poll archives and found a Gallup question from the 1970s during the Watergate investigation. We modified that slightly and came up with this question: which of these two statements comes closer to your view about the Russia investigation? A, it is a very serious matter because it could reveal corruption in the Trump administration, or B, it is just politics, the kind of thing both parties engage in. We found was that 52% of North Carolina voters said serious matter, 39% said just politics, 5% said don't know. That is actually a higher number for serious matter than Watergate had in the middle of it. So voters tend to be paying attention to this investigation. They do think it's serious, but it is largely driven by one's partisan perceptions. 85% of Democrats said serious matter compared to only 13% of Republicans.
I guess one last question is, Governor Roy Cooper, you polled also on his performance, or at least public attitudes towards his performance so far. What did you find there?
We found pretty good numbers for Governor Cooper. We found Governor Cooper at 49% approval, 30% disapproval. So he's up 19 points net positive. However, he still has 20% don't know. McCrory had similar levels of don't know, but his disapproval rating was higher. So if we look back at our polling data 1 year after McCrory won a pretty sweeping victory in 2012, we find that Cooper is doing better. Some of that is that Cooper is not necessarily in the driver's seat as much as McCrory was when he had unified party government in Raleigh. So but Cooper still has potential sort of to move one way or another. But right now, if we just took this sort of a health check of Cooper's popularity going forward, he's in a pretty good spot. Notably, 30% of Republicans approve of Cooper, and that's a pretty good number if you're thinking of, in terms of electoral coalitions.
Well, gosh, I know there's even more information we'd like to ask you about, or we've run out of time, but thanks for joining us. If listeners would like to get complete information, they can find it online.
At www.elon.edu/ElonPoll.
All right. Thank you so very much for joining us, and we'll do this again sometime very soon.
Thank you.
One final note on today's show. As our regular listeners will have noted, there was a familiar voice missing this week, that of the longtime host and NC Policy Watch founder, Chris Fitzsimon. Chris recently accepted an exciting opportunity to help lead a new national initiative that will be building and supporting news and commentary organizations in a number of other states around the country. Happily, Chris will remain based in North Carolina and will continue to serve as a contributor and close advisor to NC Policy Watch and News & Views. Those of us who remain on the team promise to do our best to carry on with the remarkable work he has started. For producer Clayton Hinkle, this is Rob Schofield. Thanks for joining us, and we'll talk to you again next week.
You've been listening to News & Views. A weekly look at state and policy issues is a production of North Carolina Policy Watch. Visit them online at ncpolicywatch.com.